Okay, we're starting here with the Gemara on the top of Mem Chet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is asking with reference to the Mishnayot, which start out with Par V'Seir Sh'Yom HaKippurim. The Mishnayot begin with a generic statement about Kodesh Kodashim, which is Shechitatan B'Tzafon, that the Shechita of all Kodesh Kodashim is done in the Tzafon. What the Gemara is asking over here is, if that is the beginning Koteret overview that we're going to use for Kodesh Kodashim, then it would make sense, Nitnei Ola B'Reisha, to bring the Ola first, because Michtei Tzafon Bo Laktiv, the din of Tzafon with regards to Shechita is written by the Ola, and therefore Nitnei Ola B'Reisha, and therefore we should have brought the Ola first. Because the pasuk says by the ula, "Bishachatu tol yerach mizbech tzafona lifnei Hashem zaku bnei Aaron hakohenim et tamam mizbech saviv." So if the source for the fact that shkitata is b'tzafon for kodesh kodashim comes out of ula, then ula should have been the first thing mentioned in the Mishnayot, where it says, "Chatat aydi de'ata midrasha chavivale." Chatat, since it comes through a drasha, is more chaviv. The terminology is used many times in the Gemara with regards to order in the Mishnah, that the Tana gives preference to something that's learned through a drasha versus something that's explicit in the psukim. Over here, it turns out that it's not as compelling as normal, because here, the drasha is not necessarily not found in the psukim. It happens to be a drasha, but it's a drasha that is more explicit in the psukim, which is said by the Chatat, and we'll go through the psukim today, but it says, V'shachat et ha-chatat bimkom ha-ola, that the Chatat, or the Shechita of the Chatat, is done in the same place as the Ola. So the Chatat is marked from the Ola, but it's not a drasha in the sense of something that's Torah Shebaal Peh. It's something that you could have derived directly from Torah Shebichtav. It still happens to be that it is a drasha or a limud. Where it says, well, if that's the case, nitnei chatot chitzonot. If that's the case, then why don't you go to the chatot chitzonot first, which is where that is mentioned. The fact that the chatat is shechted b'mkom ha'ola is mentioned by the chatot chitzonot, not by the chatot of part seir shayom ha'kippurim. So where it says, aydei d'nichnas daman lifnai v'lifnei mechavivale. Since they take the dam into the kodesh ha'kodeshim, that was the most precious to the Tano, and that's how we get to the order of the Mishnayot. Now again, as I mentioned yesterday, the order of Mishnayot seems pretty obvious. It's a little bit strange that the Gemara is going through this, trying to discover what the order is, but it's a order of hierarchy, meaning that the Parseil Shayom HaKippurim are first, and they are the ones that are taken Lifnai Lifnim. They're brought on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, and then we go to the Parim and Nisafim and Sirim and Nisafim, which are similar in that their dam is brought into the Kodesh, not into the Kodesh of Kodeshim, but they are in that type of level of Korban, similar to Parsha Sayir Shayom HaKippurim, and then so on and so forth. We move through the Mishnayot until we reach the Kodeshim Kalim, and then the lowest of the Kodeshim Kalim. But nevertheless, the Gemara here is trying to understand, given the overview that was given in the beginning, and the source for the Halacha, why is it that the Gemara went through that hierarchy instead of going to what was obvious in the Psukim and then moving through the Drashot, or the other way around, the Drashot, and then to what was obvious in the Pasuk? The Gemara answers basically that the hierarchy is driven by this idea of Lifnai Lifnim. So he calls it Lifnai Lifnim is Chavivale, but in essence, in terms of a hierarchy, it's the highest Kedusha in the sense that the Dam is brought Lifnai Lifnim on Yom HaKippurim. The Balei HaTosafot still point out, Zivim Tomarim Kein Litnei Ola LeBesof. If that's the case, why don't we bring Ola as the last of the Kodshei Kodashim? Because everything else is learned from Ola in terms of Shechita B'Tzafon. So if you're looking at a order in the Kodshei Kodashim, why is it that the order is the Chatot HaPnimiyot, then the Chatot HaChitzonot, then Ola, then Hasham. Hasham should have preceded Ola. The Balei HaTosafot suggests that Ola was brought before the Hasham because both Chatot and Olot are brought B'Tzibur, and Hasham is only a Korban HaYachid, it's not a Korban HaTzibur. And therefore we brought Ola before Hasham. Or in essence, it's what we've been discussing until now, that there is a hierarchy in the Mishnayot, and those that are more kadosh, or those that are involved with the Tzibur, are brought first, and then there is this declining hierarchy throughout the Perek in terms of the Korbanot, and therefore it makes sense to put the Ola before the Hasham. So now the Gemara says, Bitzafona ba'ola hechaktiva. So where does it write the fact that you need to do it bitzafon in the Ola? That's a pasuk that's explicit in Vayikra Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph. V'shachat oto al yerach mizbeach tzafona. It says, Ashkacha ben tzon. So that is true by the tzon. If you remember in the beginning of Vayikra, when it brings the parshiot ha'ola, it brings you the different possible olot that could be brought. The first olah that it mentions is, im olah korbano min habakar. So that's the first one, is min habakar. Then afterwards it says, v'im min hatzon korbano. if he brings from the tzon. The pasuk of b'shachot oto yerach mizbech tzofona is found by the description of how you bring the tzon, not by the description of how you bring the bakar. So the question that the Gemara is asking is, you have this b'shachot oto yerach mizbech tzofona that's found by ben tzon, ben bakar minolan. How do you know that's also true by the ulah that is brought from the bakar, from the cattle, not just from the tzon, from the sheep and the goats? Amar Kra, the pasuk says, ve'im min atzon, the vav musif al inyan rishon. There's a vav of chibur between the two parshiot, which is ve'im min atzon. And for that reason, the Balei Tosafot note over here, that's a little strange that the Gemara is asking that. We don't ask that about all the other things or other issues that are come up that are learnt either by Ben Abakar or that are learnt min atzon, applying one to the other. Why all of a sudden here does the Gemara say, well, it's written by min atzon, how does it apply to min habakar? So the Balei Tosafot note, and you can see this based on what the Gemara is saying now, is that generally, when we have something that's written by the ben habakar, which is the first parshia, to apply it to the second parshia, which is min atzon, that is pretty straightforward because you have a vav chibur. And a vav chibur says whatever was true beforehand in the first parshia is true in the second parshia. What the Gemara is about to do is in the reverse, and that's much more precarious. Which is here, the vav mosif al inyan rishon, and now we want to say that the Vav HaChibur not only has implications in terms of the second Parshia learning from the first Parshia, but also vice versa. That which is in the second Parshia will also be applicable to the first Parshia. And the Vav HaChibur will now work in both directions. It'll be a bilateral Vav HaChibur, which is not only that which is found by Ben HaBakar will apply to Ben Tzon, but even that which is found by the Tzon will apply to Ben HaBakar. And that's what the Gemara is after here, and that's the question of the Gemara. How do you get something from Tzon to Ben HaBakar when Ben HaBakar's Parshia was first? And the answer is that you use the Vav HaChibur. So Gemara says, Anicha l'man damar melamdim. That works well according to one who thinks that that is a viable alternative to a limud, which is a Vav HaChibur allows you to learn Elyon mitachton, meaning to learn the first Parshia from the second Parshia. L'man damar emelamdim. According to those that believe that a Vav HaChibur allows you to learn from the Elyon to Tachton, but not vice versa, Ma'ika l'meimar. Then where's the source by Ben HaBakar that it must be done with Tzafon? Titanya. Because we have a Beraita. Ve'im nefesh, lechayev al safek mi'ilot, asham talui, divi Rabbi Kiva, v'chachamim potrim. The Gemara here is quoting the psukim from Vayikra Hei. In Vayikra Hei, there are a number of ashamot that are listed there. The first asham is asham mi'ilot. The second asham is an asham talui. And then the third asham that's mentioned there is an asham gzelot. In the order of those ashamot, you have first asham mi'ilot, and then when the asham Talui comes up, it says, Ve'im nefesh techeta, v'asta achat mikol mitzvot Hashem asher lo ta'asena, v'lo yada v'Hashem v'nasa avono. So that Ve'im nefesh is a vav chibur. And so now Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that when it comes to Asham mi'ilot, if you have a safek about mi'ilah, you're going to be chayav in Asham Talui. The Chachamim, on the other hand, say that Asham Talui only has application by a chatat kavua. And Asham Talui is brought when you have a safek, you have some sort of doubt surrounding an aveira, that if you did the aveira, you'd be chayav b'shogeg a chatat, and b'mezid a chiyuv karet. Now we learned this already all in Horiot, and we'll do it again in Kretot, but that is the assumption here of the Chachamim, that Hashem Talui only has application by a chatat kavua. Rabbi Kiva is the one who's the mechadesh over here and says that not only does it have application by a chatat kavua, it also applies to an asham mi'ilot. Not all ashamot, but an asham mi'ilot. The reason being is the juxtaposition of the two parshiot. You have asham mi'ilot, and then right afterwards you have an asham talui. And that means, what Rabbi Kiva is suggesting over here, is that you're mechayev al safek mi'ilot asham talui because of that juxtaposition. And that's what the Gemara wants to explain. My love, bahaka miflege. This is the machloki between them. Mar sabar le'meidim. One of them, meaning Rabbi Kiva, believes that the vav chibur of the asham talui, which is the second parshia, is good enough to allow you to learn to the Asham Mi'ilot, which is the preceding Parshia. And therefore he learns Elyon Mitachton through a Vav HaChibur, and that's why he allows you to bring an Asham Talui for a violation of Mi'ilah. Umar Savar, the Chachamim believe, Ein Lemeidim, that we don't do that. The Vav HaChibur doesn't have the power to allow you to learn Elyon Mitachton, only Tachton Me'elyon. Therefore they don't apply Asham Talui to the case of Mi'ilah. Again, Asham Talui is brought when you have a safek of a violation. For instance, in a situation in which there is Chelev and Shuman in front of you, and you ate one of them, and you didn't know which one you ate, and which one was the Isur. So that safek, you bring a Asham Talui in the interim, in order to protect you until you figure out whether there is a necessity for a chatat. So, and Hashem Taloi, again, as we said before, is applicable to chatat kavua. Rabbi Akiva extends that to Hashem Milot as well. Amar Papa, Dekulei Alma Lemeidim. Everybody agrees that the Vava Chibur will allow you to learn Elyon Mitachton. So at first what we suggest was there's a machloket as to whether you can learn through a Vava Chibur something from the succeeding Parsha to the previous Parsha. Then that was the question of the Gemara before about the Vava Chibur that is found by the Parsha Tzon. Can you really apply it to the Parsha Bakar? Because that not everybody agrees to. And then they tried to bring a proof from the Braita about the Hashem Taloi that there are Tanaim that argue about this issue. And therefore you can only use that limud for the one who believes that Lomedim Elyon Mitachton. So the Gemara now says everybody agrees that that is a viable alternative to learn not only Tachton Elyon but Elyon Mitachton. And the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is based on something else. Behind Utaimid the Rabbanan, this is the reasoning behind the Rabbanan. Nemarkan mitzvot. Benerbachatat chelev mitzvot. Over here, by the case of Hashem Taloi, it says that the violation is caused vim nefesh ki techata. Vastami achat mikol mitzvot. Hashem ashelot asena. Lo yada vashem venasavono. So that's achat mikol mitzvot. And then if you go up to the parshia that deals with the chatat, it also has a similar opening to it, which is v'im nefesh achat techeta bishkaga miyam aretz beasuta achat mi mitzvot Hashem ashelot asena v'ashem. Very similar language. So that's found in Vayikra Dalet pasuk chav zayin. That's by the chatat ayachid, and then by the Hashem Taloi in Vayikra Hey pasuk yud zayin. It also uses the terminology achat mikol mitzvot Hashem, and so therefore the chachamim see a parallel through that gezeira shava. That the mitzvot tells you the limitation on an Hashem Taloi. An Hashem Taloi is only brought on Chatat Chelev. We discussed this in the Gemara in the Darim as to why the Chatat Ayachid is called a Chatat Chelev. Either because the psukim about Chelev are brought right before the Parshiyat that deals with the Chataot, or because it was the most common violation that people brought a Chatat for was Chelev. And for that reason, a generic Chatat is known as Chatat Chelev. So all they're saying here is that a generic chatat is connected to Hashem Taloi. Mal halan davar shchavin os dono koreit v'shigato chatat. Just like by the chatat chaylev, the case is a case where if you violate it intentionally, you'd be chayav koreit, unintentionally a chatat. Afkan, so too by the case of Hashem Taloi, you only be chayav in a case shchavin os dono koreit. If the violation was done intentionally, you'd be chayav koreit v'shigato chatat. And if it was done unintentionally, you'd be chayav a chatat. That's the only time or only place that Hashem Taloi is relevant. Rabbi Akiva says, Malahalan Bikvua, Afkan Bikvua. He says, the way to learn the Gzer Shava is not like what you're saying, to say that it has the same character traits in terms of its punishment, that if you did it intentionally, you're Chayav Great, unintentionally, you're Chayav a Chatat, but rather it has to do with the fact that this is a Chatat that does not change based on the economic considerations of the person bringing the Korban. It's coming to preclude or exclude the Korban Oleh V'Yoreid, which is found also there in Vayikra Hey, where we learn that certain violations have a requirement that you bring a chatat, but it's a chatat that's Oleh V'Yoreid, where a person who's wealthy enough brings an animal, someone's a little poorer brings a bird, and the person who is the poorest brings a mincha. So what Rabbi Akiva is suggesting is, I agree with you that there's a correlation between the Chatat Ayachid or Chatat Chelev and Hashem Taloi, but it doesn't teach you or limit you to the things that a Chatat is brought for, but rather it's simply limiting you to that it has to be a Chatat Kavua. And that means that even an Hashem Milot would be included, because that is a Chatat Kavua. Hashem Milot doesn't move at all. It's a static Korban. Everybody brings the same Korban if they violate Mi'ilah. So that Hashem looks like a Chatat Kavua. It's a different Korban, but it looks like a Chatat Kavua, and therefore it'll be subject to Hashem Taloi. On the other hand, when you deal with other chataot that are Levi or Reid, they don't look like a chatat kavua and they'll be excluded. Rabbanon, so why don't they learn like Rabbi Kiva? In Gzereshava, the Mechza. You can't be darshan a Gzereshava halfway. When you do darshan a Gzereshava, it's all or nothing. So over here, if you're going to darshan the Gzereshava between the chatat ayachid and the Hashem Taloi, you have to take on all the character traits of a chatat ayachid, and that means it's only uniquely associated with the Chatat Ayachid, things that are punished for the same reasons that a Chatat Ayachid is brought, that's where an Hashem Taloi is relevant. But not that it just is half of the Gzer Sheva, which is that it's a Chatat Kavua. And that's why they disagree with Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Nami, and Gzer Sheva, the Mechza. Rabbi Akiva also has to subscribe to that position. And once you have Gzer Sheva, it's an all-or-nothing proposition. You can't learn half of the character traits of a Chatat Yachid to Hashem Teluy. You need to take all of them. It says, Enoch Nami, you're right. So that can't be the reasoning behind their Machloket. V'hocha, v'haka miflage. This is the Machloket between them. Rabbi Akiva Savar, v'im nefesh tiv, v'ab musif, Al-Inyan Rishon. So Rabbi Akiva says, you have the Im Nefesh, which is a Vava Chibur. And that Vava Chibur allows you to correlate or connect between the Hashem Milot and the Hashem Taloi, and teach you that the Hashem Taloi is relevant by the Hashem Milot. Rabbana Nami Aktiv Im Nefesh. For the Chachamim, they have the same Vava Chibur, and the same fact that Hashem Milot precedes Hashem Taloi, and there's a Vava Chibur over there. So Lame Vahaka Miflege. Maybe this is the Machloki between them. The Marasavar Hekesh Adif. Question is, which form of limud to give precedence to? Do we give precedence to the gzer shava of achat mikol mitzvot Hashem, mitzvot, that we learn from the chatat hayachid? Is that what governs the Hashem Taloi? Or do we say the hekesh, which is the juxtaposition of the parshiot in the Torah of Hashem Milot and then Hashem Taloi? Does that govern over here? Is that more important? Does that get precedence in terms of a limud? Where it says, look, the kuliyama, the hekesh odif. Everybody agrees that a hekesh is a higher form of limud, or will trump a gzeira shava. So that's interesting for a number of reasons. First of all, it makes sense in some sense, because a hekesh is explicit in the Torah. It's something where the order of the items, or where the juxtaposition of the items, the Torah intentionally put them there, in order for you to learn one from the other. That's a hekesh. Gzeira shava, on the other hand, is a limud that uses similarity between words and says, well, this word appears here, this word appears there, therefore there's a connection between them. Now obviously, as we've noted many times, in Adam Dan Gzer Shava Me'atzmo, which means that you have to have a Mesora for Gzer Shava. It's not just you pick any two words and you make a Gzer Shava, but you have to have some form of Mesora. What exactly that Mesora is, we've discussed in other contexts, because the Gemara seems to not take that so literally, because they have Machlokot about Gzer Shavot, as well as the fact that people move around Gzer Shavot. And so you have to have a looser definition what it means that you have a Mesora about the Gzer Shava. But nevertheless, it's something that requires a Mesora. And number two is, it's not as clear the limud as that of a Hekesh. So for that reason, you would think that a Hekesh should take precedence over Gzer Shava. And it's logical that the Gemara might assume such. The problem with that is the Baal Tosafot note, that there is an exact same discussion in the Gemara and Gittin. And over there in the Gemara and Gittin, it says, the Kuliyama Gzer Shava Adifa. It says that everybody thinks that the Gzer Shava takes precedence over there. And in some senses, that makes sense as well, because Mesora is a directive to learn in a certain way, which would trump casual adjacency, quote-unquote, and therefore we would give precedence to the Gzer Shava over the Hekesh. So now you have a Gemara Gittin telling you that Gzer Shava trumps a Hekesh, and over here you have a Gemara telling you that a Hekesh trumps a Gzer Shava. The Baal Tosef reconciled by saying the following, V'yesh lomar, had the Gemara to kuliyama Hekesh adif, it's better to make a gzer shava la mechza than to wipe out the hekesh the gamre. What the Baal Tosafot are suggesting, and they suggested in the reverse with regards to the Gemara and Gittin, is that we have now two limudim. We have a limud of a gzer shava and a limud of a hekesh. If you accept one, the other one is going to be moot, or it's going to be deemed mutually exclusive. So in the sense that if you accept the gzer shava over here, of mitzvot, mitzvot, it's going to deem the hekesh to be meaningless. On the other hand, if you pick the hekesh to learn, then the hekesh will not render the gzer shava completely moot. And that is because if you say that the hekesh teaches you that an asham talui is brought for safek of mi'ila, that doesn't necessarily undermine completely the gzer shava of mitzvot, mitzvot, a chatat yachid. Like Rabbi Akiva said before, that gzer shava can be used to teach you that it has to be a chatat kavua, and not an olev yoreid. So what the Baal Tosafot in the end say is that the Gemara in different places will conclude differently. It's not a given that a hekesh is always better than a gzer shava, or that a gzer shava is better than a hekesh. It depends situationally on the solution to the problem. Which means that if you can learn the Hekesh and not undermine the Gzeira Shava, at least in part, we'd opt for the Hekesh over the Gzeira Shava. And vice versa, and that's what he says in the Gemara in Gittin, if we opt for the Gzeira Shava, then the Hekesh is not Nitbatel the Gamre, and therefore we'll give precedence to the Gzeira Shava rather than taking the Hekesh, which would have rendered the Gzeira Shava completely moot over there. So that's how the Baal Tosfot reconcile that. And therefore they say here, better to take up the Hekesh than the Gzeira Shava, because then the Gzeira Shava is still at least alive, in a sense, in a halfway. And therefore, you can reconcile and have both of them be limudim. V'amei l'cha rabbonon, tachtonu de gamar me'oyon. But then the rabbonon suggests that the hekesh is used for a different reason. You want to use the hekesh to teach you that Hashem Talui has relevance by Hashem Milot. I'll tell you that it's for a different reason, which is, v'amei l'cha rabbonon, tachtonu de gamar me'oyon, that the lower one, the Hashem Talui, is learned from the Elyon, which is the Hashem Milot, l'Hashem bekesef shkalim, to teach you what is the value of the animal that is brought as a korban. That is because by the Hashem Me'ilot, it actually tells you the cost of the korban. It says, Nefesh kintimo mau, v'chata'a b'shkaga mekodshe Hashem, v'evi et Hashemol Hashem, ayol tamim minatzon, be'erkecha, kesef shkalim, b'shekel ha-kodesh la'asam. So kesef shkalim is 2 shekel ha-kodesh in the Torah, which is the equivalent of the Mishnah of 2 sela. Korban, Hashem that is brought, that has a value of shnei sela'im, which is equivalent to the 2 shekel HaKodesh of the Torah. We don't have that by the Hashem Talui. By the Hashem Talui, all it tells you is that you have to bring it, maybe Ayil Tamim in its own, Be'erkecha LaHashem. It's based on its value, LaHashem. It doesn't give you the value. So what the Chachamim say is that the Hekesh, we think, is valuable, but the Hekesh is there for a different reason. The Hekesh there is to tell you the value of the Korban Hashem by the Hashem Talui. We learn from the Hashem Milot that comes beforehand. Shelo tomar, lo yesfeko, chamur mivado. Because there would be a reason to believe that the Hashem Talui should be cheaper. And that is because, a ma vado'o chatat bat ganko, by a chatat kavua, which is when you know you violated something, and you know that you have to bring a korban because you did it unintentionally for something that has a chiyuv karet, and you chayav a chatat, over there's no price minimum for bringing a chatat. You can even bring a chatat bat danka. Bat danka is 1/6 of a dinar. As Rashi notes, it's la davka. They're just giving you a number that's low, but a chatat has no fixed price associated with it. Even though the Baal Tosfot note the Gemara in other places seems to indicate there is a price. He says that price is just the mitzvah, it's not ba'akev. As far as a chatat is concerned, you bring chatat no matter what the value is. There's no minimum value set on a chatat. So you would have thought, afsfeko, Hashem bardanko. You would have thought when it comes to an Hashem Talui, which brought on a safek chait, then certainly it shouldn't be more or more costly than that which is brought on a vadai chait. So there's good reason to believe that the Hashem Talui, it should have no minimum value. So that's what the Hekesh comes to teach you. Don't think that way. The Hashem Talui actually has the same value as the Hashem Mi'ilot. It has to be brought v'kesef shkalim v'shkekel ha-kodesh. That teaches you not to think that these Hashem Talui should be just as cheap as the chatat. It actually turned out that it'll be more expensive than a chatat, which is somewhat counterintuitive. The Ramban al Torah explains the reason for that is because when it comes to a safek, people are much more dismissive of a safek than a vadai. If someone knows they did a chatat, they take it seriously, and they do kapara for it, they deal with it. When a person has a safek violation, people really don't consider it as if it's a chait. They don't relate to it in a serious manner. That's true both by Yom HaKippurim, when people are doing vidui, people are doing kapara and tshuva. When they think about something as being a safek, they say, ah, we didn't do that, or they dismiss it, and they don't take it seriously that they need to make amends, or do tshuva, or get kapara for a safek violation. And so since they're dismissive of it, the Torah has to emphasize that there's an importance over here. And therefore it raises the value of the safek, the Hashem Talui, to say this is a serious matter, and you need to deal with it. Versus the vadai chait, you don't have to encourage the person to bring the korban, because they know they were in violation, they know they need to bring the chait. So the Torah is trying to indicate to the person, the individual, the significance of a safek chait is serious. And how do you know that? Because the value of the Hashem Talui far exceeds the value of a chatat. We're trying to emphasize that you need to take this matter seriously and you need to deal with this safek chait. So that's what the Chachamim use the Hekesh for. Once they've done that, then they can't learn from it that the Hashem Talui is also applicable to the Hashem Milot. The reason for the Hekesh is learning the Takton Me'elyon, which is that the Hashem Milot dictates the price and the Hashem Talui is governed by that price. But once they have a reason for the Hekesh, then they don't have to now use it for something else. Now your question, I think what you're asking is asked by the Shita Mikubetzet, which is, why can't Rabbi Akiva say the same thing back to the Chachamim, which is, ain hekesh the mechza. Just like there is no gzer shav the mechza, there should be no hekesh the mechza. So once you have the limud of the hekesh, which says, oh, I'm going to learn the price from Hashem Mi'ilot to the Hashem Taloi, why don't you say also vice versa, that now the Hashem Taloi should also be relevant to the Mi'ilah or Safek Mi'ilah. So if you look in the Shittim Gebetzerot Chet, he says, why don't you say, Kmo Shisavar Yomod Elyon Mitachton, Kmo Kein Savar Yomod Tachton Mi'elyon, the Ein Hekesh the Mechza. Since when do you have a Hekesh the Mechza? Once you have a Hekesh, the Hekesh should be bilateral. We already discussed in the Gemara that everybody agrees that we do learn Elyon Mitachton. So if that's the case, how come the Chachamim are getting away with saying, oh, we'll make a Hekesh the Mechza, and therefore we don't have to come to the conclusion that Rabbi Kiva came to. So the Shidduch Mvetz over there says, Mishum de olam yesh lanu lomar, de'en gzer eshova the Mechza yoter mi'en Hekesh the Mechza. He says, and this is basically what we saw in the Bali Tosafot before, that you can't give precedence to saying that there's ein Hekesh the Mechza at the expense of saying that there's a gzer eshova the Mechza, which is now you have tension between the gzer eshova, between the Hashem Taloi and the Chatat HaYachid, and the Hekesh between Hashem Mi'ilot and Hashem Taloi. And now you have to resolve that tension. If you're going to tell me we're not going to make a Hekesh the Mechza, that's going to come at the expense of making a gzer eshova the Mechza. And vice versa. If you say that you're going to make the gzer eshova fully, that's going to come at the expense of a Hekesh the Mechza. And that's what the Shittim Gubetz says in the end. Ho v'ikal meimar the hekesh itzrich. Since you have a purpose for the hekesh, it makes more sense to say over here that I have a purpose for the hekesh and yet maintain the gzer shava fully. So that's what the Shittim Gubetz says over here, which is that the Chachamim in the end say, I do have a hekesh here. I have a purpose for that hekesh. And since I have a purpose for that hekesh, I can keep the gzer shava intact. And better to say that I have a purpose for the hekesh and not use it in a bilateral manner and not say that there's a gzer shava the mechza. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva is saying, I have a Hekesh over here, and I'm going to give precedence to the Hekesh over the Gzeres Shava, because the Hekesh should be bilateral. And that's what we said before, that Kuliyama Hekesh Adif. So what, in the end, we're saying is that for Rabbi Akiva, Hekesh being Adif means that bilateral Hekesh takes precedence over here. For the Chachamim, what that means that a Hekesh is more important than Gzeres Shava means you have to have a purpose for the Hekesh. Doesn't mean that you have to have a bilateral Hekesh, you need to have a purpose. Once you have a purpose for the Hekesh, then I can go on to learn the Gzer Shava, even though the Gzer Shava then force you only to have a Hekesh Lemechza. And so now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Akiva Hasbara Minolet. Where does Rabbi Akiva know the fact that the cost of an Hashem Taloi is like the Hashem Milot, and not just a Korban without any price minimum? Nafgilei Mizot Torat Hashem. He learned it out of Zot Torat Hashem, Torah Chat, L'chol Hashemot. That all Hashemot have the same din. Now, the truth is, it doesn't mean that all Hashemot have the same din, but all Hashemot that are similar have the same din. That's because some Hashemot come from an Ayil, and some Hashemot come from a Keves. They're both in the same family, it's just an age issue. An Ayil is Ben Shtei Shanim, whereas a Keves is Ben Shana. But the application of Zot Torat Hashem means anything that has a din of an Ayil will have the same price. Where it says, Tinach Mandit Le Torat. That works well according to one who darshins Torat, Chatat, Torat Ola, Torat Hashem in that manner, which we'll find in the Gemara in the beginning of Menachot. Mandit Le Torat, Mechi Gamar. According to one who says that Torat is not a sufficient type of limud to allow you to extrapolate from one to the other within the rubric of a single Korban. Mechi Gamar, where does he learn that out from? Gamar Be'erkecha, Be'erkecha. As I noted before, that by the Hashem Taloi, it says Be'erkecha Ve'Hashem. It says at the value of an Hashem. It doesn't tell you what that value is, but if you look by the Hashem Mi'ilot, it also uses the same terminology, which is Be'erkecha Kesef Shkalim B'Shekel HaKodesh L'Hashem. So what they have is, in essence, Erkecha, a type of Gzer Shava, that teaches you that the value that is pronounced by the Hashem Mi'ilot will be applicable by the Hashem Taloi. So Tina Hecha Dichti Be'erkecha. That works well for the Hashemot that have the word Erkecha written by them. Hashem Shivcha Rufa. The Lokiv de Erkecha Ma'ika LeMeimar, the Hashem Shivcha Rufa, which does not have Erkecha written by it, what are you going to do? So here are the references to other Hashemot. The Hashem that's mentioned after the Hashem Taloi, as I noted before, is the Hashem Gzelot. Now by the Hashem Gzelot, it does use the term Erkecha, and it says over there, Et Hashemo Yavi LaShem, Ayil Tamim Minatzon Be'erkecha LaShem El HaKohen. So again, there you have the terminology Be'erkecha. So that solves your problem, because you have now Erkecha mentioned by Hashem Mi'ilot with a price. You have Erkecha mentioned by Hashem Taloi, and you have Erkecha mentioned by the Hashem Gzelot. So we'll apply the price that we have by the Hashem Mi'ilot to the Hashem Taloi and to the Hashem Gzelot. The problem is Hashem Shiva Harufa, which is not found here in Vayikrahei, but rather in Parshat Kedoshim, in the beginning of Parshat Kedoshim. And over there it says, for a violation of Shivcha Harufa, Beviet Ashamo Lashem, El Petach Ol Moed, El Hashem. So over there it doesn't give any word of Erkecha. So how do you know the El Hashem over there has a minimum value? That is the value stated by the Hashem Meilot. So the Gemara answers, Be'el El. You learn it out from El Hashem by the Hashem Meilot. It says, In Perakei Pasuk Tetzayim, V'tashech Ata Min HaKodesh, Yishalem V'et Chamishito Yosef Alav, V'natan Oto Lagoin, V'akon Yechaper Alav, Be'el HaHashem V'nislach Lo. By the Shiv Harufa it says, V'vi Et Hashem Al Hashem V'petach Omeid El Hashem, V'el HaKoin Be'el HaShem. And then the Shidim Gubetzah Not Kapav notes, U'Bashem Meilot, Nami, the Hashem Meilot, it says, Be'el HaShem. Both the word Eil and Hashem appear by the Hashem Milot, and they also appear by Shiv Harufa. The fact that it mentions Eil and Hashem by both of them, that's what teaches you by Shiv Harufa that there's also a minimum value that you have to use in order to bring the Hashem Shiv Harufa. So that's as far as the value limud that we have here. And as Tarashi points out, and we noted this before, that when it comes to the Hashem Mitzorah and the Hashem Nazir, they will not be included in this limud, because both of them are a keves ben shana. And since they are a keves ben shana, min da'ayol to ben shteshanim. Since when it comes to an ayol, there's a requirement of shkalim, 2 shekel kodesh as the value, which again is a 2 sela of the Mishnah, then the keves ben shana, something that's half the age, which is the Hashem Mitzorah and the Hashem Nazir, which comes from a keves, which is 1 year old, versus the ayol that's 2 years old, then it'll be half the value. And therefore, the minimum value of an Hashem Mitzorah and Hashem Nazir will be a shekel of the Torah, which is a sela of the Mishnah. Right now, the Gemara moves on and says, Chatat minolon debayit safon. How do you know that a chatat requires safon? Now, the Gemara here is going to quote psukim. There are actually 3 psukim that have a very similar genre to them. And the Gemara is going to bounce around between them. That is in the Parshiot of the Chatat, as you remember from the Gemara in Horiot, that you have a Par Kohen Mashiach, then you have Par Elam Davishel Tzibur, then you have the Seir Nasi, and then you have the Chatot Ayachid, and the Chatot Ayachid are broken down into 2 categories. One is a Sirat Izim, and then the other one is a Kivsa. And the latter 3 Chatot, which are known as the Chatot Achitzonot, over there you have a similar refrain in all of them. That's by the Seir Nasi, by the Chatat Yechid of the Seira, and the Chatat Yechid of the Kivsa. By the Nasi it says, V'shamach yodo al rosh ha-Seir, V'shachat oto bimkom asher yishchat et ha'olah lifnei Hashem chatat hu. So that you will shecht the animal in the same place that you do the olah. By the Chatat Yechid of the Seira, it says, V'shamach yodo al rosh ha-chatat, V'shachat et ha-chatat bimkom ha'olah. And then by the Chatat Yechid of the Kivsa, it says, Samach et Yadol Rosh HaChatat, Shachat Ota LaChatat Bimkom Asher Yishchat Et HaOla. In all 3 of these cases, it demands that the Chatat be shechted in the same location as the Ola. And we already know from the Ola, it says, V'shachat Ota Al Yerach HaMizbeach Tzafona. So the Ola is brought in the Tzafon. And now you have 3 psukim here by the Chataot that teach you that a Chatat also has to be shechted in the Tzafon. Now what the Gemara is going to do is try to understand those 3 psukim and the wording of those psukim. What do they teach us about the Shkita B'Tzafon? So they're going to ask, Chatat minalan debayit Tzafon, Tichtiv, because the Pasuk says, V'shachat et ha-chatat bimkom ha-ola. So here it's quoting the Pasuk that is found by the Chatat Yachid, by the Se'ira, Ashkechan Shkita. Now we know that Shkita has to be in the Tzafon. Kabbalah minalan. How do we know that also Kabbalat Adam has to be done in the Tzafon? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, V'lakach ha-kohen mi-dam ha-chatat, that the Kohen will take from the dam ha-chatat. That's written by the Seir HaNasi. It says, Samach yudo rosh ha-seir v'shachat oto bimkom asher yishchat oto olah lifnei Hashem chatat hu. And then the subsequent Pasuk says, V'lakach ha-kohen mi-dam ha-chatat v'etzba'o. And similarly, by the case of the Chatat Yachid, by the Kivsa, it says a similar item, Samach yudo rosh ha-chatat v'shachat oto la-chatat bimkom asher yishchat oto olah. V'lakach ha-kohen mi-dam ha-chatat v'etzba'o. Natan ha-kormat mizbach ha-olah v'et kodama yishpoch yisod ha-mizbeach. So that Pasuk in Vayukra Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, by the Sirat Yachid of the Kivsa, you have that Vav HaChibur that tells you, just like the Shechita is done by Tzafon, V'lakach, the Kabbalah must be done in the Tzafon as well. So the Vav is Mechaber, the Lekicha, and the Lekicha we know means Kabbalah over here. And so the Kabbalat Adam also has to be done by Tzafon. So The Gemara says, Mikabel Atzmo Minolan. So now we know that the Kabbalah itself must be done in the Tzafon. How do we know that the Mikabel has to be in the Tzafon? So remember that by Shechita, that is not true. We've discussed this previously, that by Shechita, the Nishkat, the animal that is being shechted, must be in the Tzafon. But the Shochet does not need to be in the Tzafon. So what the Gemara wants to understand here is by Kabbalah, we know that's different. By Kabbalah Tadam, both the Kabbalah and the Mikabel have to be in the Tzafon. So the Gemara says, okay, you proved to me that Kabbalah is in the Tzafon. How do I know that the Mikabel must be in the Tzafon? Amakra vilakach. The Pasuk says vilakach, lo ikach, that he's to take himself. So Rashi says the limud comes from vilakach, which is the vav over there. You could have just said lakach hakohen, and instead it says vilakach hakohen. Now the vav of chibur is what makes it that the Kabbalah is connected to the Shechita beforehand, but maybe even without the vav, you could have said the juxtaposition of the two is enough to teach you that. So now that the vav may be extraneous in some sorts, he says sarseyu, take the vav out of there, and it's as if it's written kach lo. It's as if you reworded and put the lamed and vav together and the kach together and say kach lo. He has to take himself. And he put himself in the tzafon. The way that the Shita Mikubet said, explains Rashi, is ikach v'ikarev the makom adam, that he should take himself closer to the place where the dam is. And so that he learns vilakach to mean not only a lekicha of the dam, but a lekicha v'atzmo, that the Kohen has to take himself over to the tzafon. Ashkachan the mitzvah. So we find now the mitzvah, meaning that, again, by kodeshim, when something's written once, that means that it is lechatchila must be done, but in the avad, it's not me'akev. Me'akev minayin. How do we know that it's also me'akev? Krachtin aktiv. This is what I noted for you before, that you have multiple pasukim by the chataot that tell you that you have to do it, but mekom ha'olah. So now the Gemara is quoting the pasuk by the Seir Hanasi. Again, before we brought the pasuk of shachate the chatat b'mkom ha'olah, which is the chatat ha'yachid by Seira, now the Gemara is quoting the pasuk Vayikra Dalet, pasuk Chav Dalet, that's found by the Seir Nasi, which says Samach Yadol Rosh Seir v'shachat uto b'mkom ha'shei shachatet ha'olah lifnei Hashem chatadu. So now you have a duplication of the necessity to bring the korban chatat in the same place as olah or the tzafon, which means that it'll be mi'akev. V'tanya, heichan olah nishkata b'tzafon. Where is the olah shechted? In the north. Avzeh b'tzafon. So too, the chatat is brought in the tzafon or shechted in the tzafon. That is, again, like you noted, that's the drasha that was chavivaleh that we saw before. Because even the word tzafon is not written here explicitly, and the bright is telling you, you have to look now, where was the olah shechted in the north? So that applies to the chatat as well. V'chi mikana talamed? Is that where you learn it from? Halok v'anermar? Doesn't the pasuk say in Pashat Tzav, Daber al Aron v'al benav lemor zoturat ha-chatat, b'mkom asher tishachet ha-olah, tishachet ha-chatat, lifnei Hashem kodesh kodeshim hi. There actually is a fourth pasuk that deals with the chatat. So now you have another pasuk telling you the same thing. Saha bama yatsa. So why is this now brought over here? The gvoa lo makom. So to tell you the place. Shim lo shachta b'tzafon, pasul. Because if you don't do it in the tzafon, then it'll be pasul. Ata omer lekach yatsa? That's why you have the pasuk here? Oeno lele tzerzeta unsafon, ve'enacherta unsafon. Or maybe it's coming to teach you that that requires a tzafon, and nothing else requires a tzafon. The Gemara says, well, maybe not so fast. Because maybe the pasuk paseir nasi is coming for a different reason. And that is to tell you that shachat oto b'mkom ashe shachat otola is katame to tell you, oto, only that chatat haseir will be in the north, but not every chatat haseir will be brought in the north. And what that would exclude, as Rashi notes over here, is that that would exclude other sirei chataot. Kigon, si'irei yom ha-kippurim, v'si'irei uvedat kochavim, v'shal musafei ha-moladot. All the si'irim that are brought as chataot, maybe they would not require tzafon, because it says by the shachat oto b'mkom ha-shei shachat oto ola, by the sir nasi, it says oto, which is a miut. So now I can no longer use that posuk by the sa'ir of the nasi to teach me a duplication of the necessity to do a bitzafon, because maybe that posuk is for a different reason, which is oto, coming to teach you a miut, that only that seir chatat requires north, but other seirei chataot don't require. Talmud Lomar, that's why the pasuk says, shechat et ha-chatat bimkom ha-ola, that you shech the chatat bimkom ha-ola, which is the pasuk that's found in Vayikra Dalet, pasuk chavtet, chatat ha-yachid of the seira. And zeb ne'av, the chol chataot, sheituno tzafon. That teaches you all of the chataot that they require tzafon. So that source from Sirat Yachid that will teach us that it's a bnei av that all chataot require tzafon. Rashi says the limud is for it says that shachat et chatat. It could have just said shachat ota, which is the terminology that is used by the other cases. By the cases here, it says v'shachat oto b'mkom ashei shachatat ola. And by the kibsa of a chatat yachid, it also says v'shachat ota l'chatat b'mkom ashei shachatat ola. The Gemara is learning from v'shachat et chatat to teach you that there's a b'nei av now. That binyan av is coming to teach you that by all chataot you require tzafon. But then, why then can't you learn from that, that there is an ikuv over here? Because, as Rashi notes over here, you might have thought that you need it by the sirat yachid to tell you that it's not excluded by the v'shachat oto. By the seir of the nasi says v'shachat oto, that only the seir nasi requires tzafon. So you would have thought that maybe the chatat yachid of the seira will not require tzafon. So therefore you need a specific pasuk of v'shachat chatat b'mkom ola to teach you that it's not governed by that miut of the seir nasi. So now what you can learn from that is a binyan av, that all chatot require tzafon, but you can't use it to tell you that it's lakeif, to say that it's a duplication of the requirement of chatat b'tzafon from the pasuk in tzav and the addition of this pasuk. And that's why we need now an additional pasuk by chatot hayachiz or other chatot besides the seir nasi to teach us that there is an ikuv. And now we get from the chatat yachid of a kifspa, the Gemara says, Ashkechan seir nasi ben the mitzvah ben lakeif. So now we have by the seir nasi ben the mitzvah ben lakeif, because there's a duplication by the Seir Nasi, which says Shachat Oto b'mkom Hashei Shachatot Ola, that's La'akev. Shar Chatot Nami Ashkechan the Mitzvah. By other Chatot, we have it the Mitzvah, because it's mentioned by the Chatat HaYachid, La'akev Minolan. How do I know that it's also Me'akev? Dichtiv B'kizbah V'chtiv B'Seira. Because again, there it's mentioned twice. It's mentioned once by Chatat HaYachid of the Seira, which is Samach Yodo Rosh Chatat B'Shachatat HaChatat b'mkom Ola. And it's also mentioned by the case of the kisbah. So there again you have a duplication. So now once you have the duplication there, it is la'akev as well. That teaches us that there again the pasuk is duplicated to teach us that din of shechat outa l'chatat b'mkom ashei shechatat ola. That duplication teaches you that there is an ikub also by other chatot. But now once you've said that by the shar chatot, it's la'akev, la'oto, Lomali. If that's the case, then what is the Shachat Oto by the Seir Nasi doing? What is it being Mimayit? If we included everything for Tzafon La'akev, meaning that we have the Seir Nasi through the Shachat Oto, on top of what's already written in Tzav, that there's a requirement for Tzafon La'akev, and through the Seirah, we include it through a Binyanav, all Chataot, so there's no Miut from Oto, and then through the chatat that is mentioned by the kisba on top of what we already have from Parshat Tzav, that gives us the duplication la'akev by shar chatot, then the v'shachat oto by the nasi, what is that coming to exclude? So Gemara says, oto l'amalei mibayle l'kitanya, we need it for this braita. Oto b'tzafon, vein seir nachshon b'tzafon. That seir nasi is brought in the tzafon, but there's another seir nasi that's not brought in the tzafon or does not require tzafon. That is the seir chatat that was brought by the nisiim, that of nachshon ben aminadav. Because over there they brought a seir chatat that was not brought on a chet, but brought as a korban nedava. So that seir chatat does not require tzafon. B'tanya. And we have a braita which says, v'samach yodo a rosh ha-seir, that you will do smicha on the rosh ha-seir, the rabot seir nachshon l'smicha, to tell you that the seir nachshon also requires. When it says, samach yodo a rosh ha-seir by the korban chatat of the nasi, when it says, samach yodo a rosh ha-seir, that means for any seir, there is a requirement of smicha. That includes the seir nachshon. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Omer, there are both seirei avodat kochavim l'smicha. That comes to teach you that seirei avodah zarah, they also require smicha. Sagadat chamina, hovit rabu the smicha, it's rabu namalit tzafon. I would think over here that if the seir nachshon is included for smicha, it also should be included with tzafon. Kamash malan, v'shachat oto. That oto comes to teach you that even though the smicha is something that is extrapolated from the seir chatat of the nasi, that has a requirement of smicha is extrapolated to that of nachshon as well, but nevertheless, that's only true by smicha. By tzafon, that's not the case because I have a miut of shachat oto, tell you only it and not anything else. So matkiv la ravino, ravina says, anicha la rabbi Yehuda. That works well according to rabbi Yehuda, who says that there is a riboy from samach yodo rosh seir for the seir of the nasi, seir of nachshon, But the Rabbi Shimon, who says that it has nothing to do with the Seer of Nachshon, then what Havamina do you have that you need a miut to exclude it? So then what are you going to say there? What's the miut of Shechat Oto? So Amalei Mar Zutra, Brei the Rav, Tavi, the Ravina, Rabbi Yehuda Minecha? Wait a minute, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, is this so straightforward? Just because it says the Samach Yadol Rosh Seir, which says that the Seir of Nachshon gets smicha, just because there's a din of smicha, who says there's a din of shechita b'tzafon? You can't just say, if you have a limud that includes something, that's fine. The limud includes whatever it includes. You can't go and include other things. You need a separate limud to teach you that the shechita should be the same. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do you need a miut from shechita? You have nothing that's mirabit. Chiteima ilo me'atatekra. If the pasuk didn't specifically exclude it, havamina teiti b'binyan av, then we'll learn it through a binyan av. The binyan av will be that the seir of Nachshon is a chatat, and it'll have the same trappings as the seir chatat of the nasi. The Mar says, im kein smicha gufa teiti b'binyan av. Then you wouldn't need a riboy from the pasuk of Samach Yadol Rosh Seir to include the seir of Nachshon, because you would have learned it through a binyan av. Ela midorot lo gamrinan. You can't learn something from dorot to sha'ah. You're dealing with different types of chatot over here. The Seir of Nachshon is a Seir of a Horat Sha'ah. First of all, it's a Seir of Hatat that's brought on a voluntary basis. It's brought as a Nidava. It's also brought by the Nasi, even though there was no Chet that was committed. And so over here, you have an unusual Seir, the Seirei Chatot of the Nisim that were brought as part of the consecration of Mishkan. And Parshat Naso, those are unusual. And you can't learn them out, Midorot. You can't learn anything out, Midorot. Hachanami Midorot, Lo Gamrinan. So you can't learn anything from Dorot. And that means that unless you have a specific ribui, you're not going to include them. So since by Samach Yadol Rosh Seir we have a ribui according to Rabbi Yehuda that includes smicha, Seir Nachshon, that we will learn. Otherwise, there's no havamina to learn it. And then again, we're back to square one. What do you need shechat oto b'mkom sheri shechat oto la? Why do you need the shechat oto that is found by the seir of the nasi? Elo oto b'tzafon ve'ein shochet b'tzafon. The oto comes to teach you that the shechita must be done in the north, but the shochet does not need to be in the north. That's what I mean. Shechat oto, the animal, the seir, must be in the tzafon, but the shochet does not need to be in the tzafon. I say shochet mid Rav Achya nafka. That we already know from Rav Achya. The Tanya, Rav Achya omer b'shechat oto al yerach hamizbeach tzafona. This is by the Ola. The Gemara is jumping tracks here a little bit and saying, well, by Chatat, this is how we learn the fact that the Shochet is not on the Tzafon because of Shechat Oto. Gemara says, why do you need that? We have Rav Achi already. Rav Achi is not speaking about a Chatat. Rav Achi is speaking about an Ola. The answer to that is that the Chatat is learned from the Ola. And so whatever is true of the Ola is also going to be true of the Chatat, because the Chatat is a derivative of whatever is true by the Ola. So if by the Ola, you only require that the shechita be done in the tzafon, not the shochet, then when you learn that the shechita of the chatat is done like the ola, then it'll have the same trappings as the ola, and the shochet would not be in the tzafon. And what Rabbi Achia says is, shechat oto yechaz b'dev tzafona, matam lomar, fishi matzino, omeid b'tzafon, omekabel b'tzafon. That the person who is doing the Kabbalah, standing in the north, and does the Kabbalah in the north, v'mamat b'daron, v'kibel b'tzafon. If the person is doing the Kabbalat Adam stands in the south, and then does the Kabbalat Adam in the north, pasul, yachol av zekein. You would think the same thing is true by Shechita. So then, Talmud Omar, oto. That's why it says by the pasuk of the Ola, Shechat oto, al yerach mizbeach tzafona. To teach you, oto b'tzafon, and ein shochet b'tzafon. That the Shechita must be done in the north, but the shochet does not need to be standing in the tzafon. Hello, oto b'tzafon. Then what are you going to do with the oto that is found by the Seir Nasi? El oto b'tzafon, ve'en ben of b'tzafon. Comes to teach you that animals require tzafon, but birds do not require tzafon. Titania, yecholye ben of ta'un tzafon. You would think that bird korbanot require tzafon. Vidino, and you could make a logical argument for that. Uma ben son, shalo kavolo kohen. By the case of a shchita of a behema, or even a zar can do shechita. So even though the kohen is not required to do the shechita, nevertheless there's a demand for tzafon. Benov shekavalo kohen. Benov, which can only be done by a kohen, in the melika of the oaf, which is the equivalent of shechita for an oaf in the mikdash, is where the kohen takes it in his hand and uses his thumb to penetrate through the head of the bird and he does melika. That melika must be done by a kohen. Enu din shi kavalo tzafon? And certainly it should be done, or the melika should have to be done in the tzafon. Tamalomar oto. That's what Shechatoto comes to teach you, that only the behema or benzon is required to be done in the tzafon, but of is not required to be done in the tzafon. It says, ma le benzon, shein kavalo kli. Wait a minute, why would you have such a havamino? The havamino is premised on the fact that there's a chumra by of that would made you thought that you have to do it in the tzafon. The chumra is that he required the kohen to do the melika, which is not true of the shechitata behema. But the truth is that there are chumrot by behema. The chumra by behema is that you have to do the kabbalat adam into a kli sharet. By the oaf, there is no kabbalat adam. The blood goes directly from the oaf onto the mizbeach. We had a question earlier in Masechta whether that deems it to be like a kli sharet. The oaf itself is deemed to be like a kli sharet for that reason. But there is no kabbalat adam into a kli sharet. Maybe the reason there is tzafon by behema is because you require kabbalat adam by kli sharet. And that's the chumra by behema. If that's the case, you would have no way to learn from behema to oaf to assume that an oaf must have tzafon. Well, if you don't have any reason to believe that the oaf had tzafon, then you don't need a miut to tell me that it doesn't need to be in the tzafon. Ella oto b'tzafon, bein pesach b'tzafon. That the chatat here, or the seir nasi, is done in the tzafon, but a korban pesach is not done in the tzafon. D'tanya. V'lez ben Yaakov mer yochol yeh pesach ton tzafon. You would think that processing the korban pesach must be done in the north. V'dinu, and it is a logical argument. Uma ola shekein lo kavalo zman l'shechitato. Even though there's no fixed time for when you have to do the shechita, kavalo tzafon. Nevertheless, there's a demand to be done in the tzafon. Pesach shekavalo zman shechitato ben arbaim on erev Pesach, where there is a fixed time for shechita. When udin shekavalo tzafon, certainly it have to be done in the north. Tamalomar oto. That's what the oto comes to exclude and say that Pesach does not require tzafon. Mar says, wait a minute, you can't make that argument. Mada Ola Shekein Kalil. So Ola is fully put on the Mizbeach. So maybe the reason an Ola has to be done in the Tzafon is because it is Kalil on the Mizbeach. And then again, you can't then assume that a Pesach should be in the Tzafon. Your argument is that a Pesach has a Chumrah. The Chumrah is that it has a fixed time for Shechita. And because of that, you would have assumed it's done in the north. That's why you need a Miut. Mar says, why would you have assumed that? Ola has Chumrah over a Pesach. The Ola is Kulo Kalil on the Mizbeach. So maybe that's why it required tzafon, and you can't extrapolate to a Pesach. Well, if you can't extrapolate to Pesach, you don't need a miut to exclude the Pesach. Or it says, mechatat. Maybe you can learn Pesach from a chatat. That just like chatat doesn't have a fixed time for its shechita, nevertheless it requires tzafon. Pesach has a fixed time for its shechita, certainly it should be done in the tzafon. Or it says, chatat also has a chumrah. Ma'al chatat shekein mechaperet al chayvei kreitot. Because a chatat brings kapara for serious violations. So maybe that's why it requires tzafon. So me'asham. Let us learn Pesach from Asham, to say just like an Asham doesn't have a fixed time for Shechita, nevertheless requires Tzafon, the Pesach that does have a fixed time for Shechita, certainly it should be B'Tzafon. Mal Asham, Shekein Kodshei Kodashim. Can't learn from Asham, because an Asham is a Kodesh Kodashim, whereas a Pesach is a Kodshim Kalim. Not only is it Kodshim Kalim, it's one of the lowest forms of Kodshim Kalim. So where it says, Mekulam Nami, so let's learn it B'Matzad, between all of these, between an Ola, a Chatat and Asham. You can't do that, Shekein Kodshei Kodashim. And like you were suggesting, that all of them are Kodshei Kodashim, that argument can be used by all of them. That's what Gemara says in the end. They're all Kodshei Kodashim, and you can't extrapolate from them to Pesach. So then, since you can't extrapolate from them to Pesach, there's no Havamina that Pesach should be in Tzafon, so you don't need a miut to tell you that it's not in the Tzafon. Gemara says, the Olam Kedamran Biikara. We're going back to our original statement. Oto B'Tzafon, Vein Shochet B'Tzafon. It is in the Tzafon, and the Shochet doesn't need to be in the Tzafon. Oh, the kasha l'chami to Rabbi Achia, nafkalan. What about the fact, you can already learn that out from the limud of Rabbi Achia by Shechat Oto that's written by the Ola. Lav limute shochet b'tzafon, ela ein shochet b'tzafon, aval mekabel b'tzafon. So now, it's not clear here which one the Gemara changes, and the truth is that Rashi here is different than Rashi in Menachot. What we're saying is that you have two times it says the Shechat Oto. So one of them is to teach you that Mishchat Oto means the Shechita must be done in the Tzafon, but the Shuchet does not need to be in the Tzafon. But then we're going to have another Limud over here. And which one of these are we saying is the other Limud is not clear. Over here, Rashi claims that it is Limute Shuchet B'Tzafon Oto de Gabi Sa'ir. The one that is written by the Sa'ir of the Nasi, Lav Limute Shuchet B'Tzafon Ari. It's not coming to exclude the Shuchet B'Tzafon. That's what Rashi says here. Rashi Menachot says, the one of Rav Achia, the Shechat Oto by the Ula, is not for telling you that the Shuchet is not in the Tzafon. But either way, what you have is one Pasuk that's dealing with the fact that the Shechita has to be in the Tzafon, the Shechit doesn't. And the other one is teaching you not to that to me Ute Shechit B'Tzafon, Ela Ein Shechit B'Tzafon, Aval Mekabel B'Tzafon. It's coming to tell you that the Shechit is not in the Tzafon, But the Mikabel is in the Tzafon. So that's why it's there. It's not coming to exclude the Shochet, rather coming to tell you that this is particular to the Shochet and not to the Mikabel. The fact that the Torah has to go out of its way to tell you that the Shochet is not in the Tzafon is indicative of the fact that the Mikabel is in the Tzafon. Because if you didn't think, if the Mikabel's not in the Tzafon, why would you think the Shochet has to be in the Tzafon? So only because you need a miut by Shochet, that indicates to you that the Mikabel has to be in the Tzafon. Mar says, Mikabel, mi lakach vilakach nafka. We already learned that out from the limud that we had before on the bottom of the previous amud. So vilakach taught us not only that the Kabbalah has to be done in the Tzafon, but even the Kohen has to be in the Tzafon. So Mar says, lakach vilakach lo mashmale. He doesn't learn lakach vilakach. We use the vav as the reason to say the Kohen has to be also in the Tzafon. And Rav Achya doesn't hold of that limud. And since he doesn't hold of that limud, therefore over here he needs a different limud to teach you that Mikabel is with Tzafon. The Bayit Tosafot say a little bit of a tema on the Gemara's limud over here, because before, when we brought Rav Achya down, he says, I would have thought that the Shochet should be in the Tzafon, just like the Mikabel is in the Tzafon. Along comes Vishachatoto to tell you that the Shochet's not in the Tzafon. That seems to imply that Rav Achya knows that the Mikabel is in the Tzafon before he ever brings his limud down. Now the Gemara is saying that the whole source for the fact that Mikabel is in the Tzafon is the fact that Shochet is not in the Tzafon, therefore the Mikabel must be in the Tzafon. That is circular logic, because you're saying that the reason I need a miut by Shochet is because Mikabel is in the Tzafon. And then you tell me, how do I know that Mikabel is in the Tzafon? Because the Shochet doesn't need to be in the Tzafon. So the Baal Tosfot asked that question, and therefore say in the end, B'shem Rav Achya darish v'lakach lo ikach, alana no dorshin le. He says, what's said in the Gemara here maybe isn't applied to Rav Achya. Maybe it's not said about Rav Achya. Now the truth is, you only need that if you believe the Gemara is reading this or rereading Rav Achya to mean this. On the other hand, if you have like Rashi's girsa over here, then the question really goes away. Because Rashi's saying we're not changing Rav Achya, we're actually changing the Shachat Oto that is found by the Seir HaChatat. And then it won't be a question. But if you learn like Rashi and Menachot, and the Baal Tosfot's question is relevant, is how can you say Rav Achya is saying that Shachat Oto teaches you the Mekabel is in the Tzafon, when that's the underlying assumption for the limud of Rav Achya, that Mekabel is in the Tzafon, that's why you need a miut there. He says, maybe what we're saying in the Gemara over here is, when we say we're not Doresh, v'lakach, v'lakach, lakach lo, that's true for us in the Gemara. But that's not true of Rav Achya himself. Rav Achya himself would be Doresh that, and that's how he knew that the Mekabel was there first, and he would learn Shechat Oto, the teacher that the Shochet is not in its Tzafon. We who are trying to now reconcile on a bigger picture basis, how do we deal with the fact that we have two Otos now, so we'll learn in a different manner than Rav Achya. But that doesn't mean that that's particular to Rav Achya's limud. Where it says, Ashkran Shchita Be'ola, the mitzvah. By the Shchita of the Ola, we find the mitzvah, because it says, Shechat Oto al Yerachem Mizbeach Tzafona. So then we have one time that it tells us it has to be on the Tzafon. Kabbalah, the mitzvah, Ashkran. Same thing with regards to Kabbalat Adam. We also find that it is a mitzvah, because now you're saying that Shechat Oto tells you that the Shochet doesn't need to be in the Tzafon, but the Mekabel does need to be in the Tzafon. The Tosfot questioned the fact that Rashi over here suggests that the source for the fact that by Ola, Kabbalah is B'Tzafon is because of the miut, Shochet B'Tzafon, and not Mekabel B'Tzafon, because the way that Rashi is learning now, Rav Achya is the source for the fact that the Shochet's not B'Tzafon, and the limud from Chatat of the Seir Nasi is the Shochet doesn't have to be in the Tzafon, but the Mekabel does need to be in Tzafon. That's coming from the Chatat and not coming from the Ola. So Tosfot says, Rashi here seems to be conflating, first of all, Ola and Chatat. In addition to that, he's conflating Kabbalah and Mikabel. The Gemara says Kabbalah, it doesn't say Mikabel, the mitzvah. And number two is, it's written by the Chatat and not written by the Ola. So in the end, the Baal Tosfot say, once the Gemara indicates to us that the Mikabel is the same as the Kabbalah itself, then once we've established that either Mikabel or Kabbalah, you can apply one to the other, or in essence, they become synonymous at that point. Once we've established that there's no difference between the Mikabel and the Kabbalah, then whatever you learn by one is true by the other as well. Shechita v'Kabbalah le'akev min island. How do we know now by Ola that it's not only the mitzvah, but it's also me'akev? So my Rav Adar Bar Ava, v'itei Marav Barshila, kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. Uma chatat haba'a mikoach Ola me'akevet. Ola sheba'a chatat mikocha enu din she'me'akevet. Meaning, this goes back to what we mentioned before, and we were mentioning it because this is what the Gemara's conclusion is. If Ola is the source for Chatat, then the derivative, the Chatat, can't be more chamor than the source. So if the Chatat, which is a derivative of the Ola, we already showed that there's duplication of the psukim to tell you that it's me'akevet, the Ola, which is the source, enu din she'me'akevet. The Gemara says, maybe not. Malachatat shekein mechaperet al chavei kreitot. Maybe chatat has a chumrah that exists that makes it more chamur than an olah, and that is because it provides kapara for serious violations. Amar Ravina, hakashale the Ravada ba'ava. This question that Ravada ba'ava asks, it is not really a question. Kol matzino tafel chamur min ayikar. You can't say that in the end. But in the end, you can never have a derivative that is more chamur than the source. Even if you tell me that the chatat is unique in the sense that it gives kapara for those that are chayavei kreitol, nevertheless, the chatat is still derived from olah. If that's the case, you have to learn that the olah is me'akev, because otherwise how could the chatat be me'akevet? So if the chatat is me'akevet, then certainly the olah is me'akevet, because you can never have something that is the object of the limud, the derivative of the limud, be more chamur than the limud itself. The fact that it's a derivative of an olah is going to govern over here, despite the fact that the chatat is mechaper al chayvei kreitot, and therefore whatever is true of the chatat must be true of the olah. So if it's me'akevet by the chatat, it's also going to be me'akevet by the olah. But that's all premised on this logic that the derivative can't be more chamur than the source. We're going to stop here on the last line of Memchen Amud Bet. That's what the Gemara is going to challenge tomorrow and say that maybe we do have cases in Kodeshim where the derivative is more chamur than the source.